I'm going to read something. You'll tell me. You got one of three choices. I agree with it. I disagree with it. I don't have an opinion about it. Sitting by my window on a rainy afternoon, everything inside my head was playing out a tune. I was thinking of the fool I'd made of me the night before. In front of God and everyone, I sinned and sinned some more. I thought all the things I'd done, winced at the things I said. I wallowed in self-pity. I hung my worried head. Right when I was so far down that it even looked up, far down, that even up looked wrong, that's when Jesus gave me the words to this song. He said, Satan, the accuser's been whispering in your ear. Just tell him he's forgiven. He's got no business here. Because it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you'll be. There is no condemnation when the Son has set you free. Agree, disagree, or no opinion?
I had a hard time hearing you.
You had a hard time hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a hard time hearing me?
Ah.
I'm on?
You're on.
Okay. I'll read it again. Sitting by my window on a rainy afternoon, everything inside my head was playing out of tune. I was thinking of the fool I made of me that night before. In front of God and everyone, I sinned and sinned some more. I thought of all the things I'd done. I winced at the things I said. I wallowed in self-pity. I hung my worried head. Right when I was so far down that even up looked wrong, that's when Jesus gave me the chorus to this song. He said, Satan, the accuser has been whispering in your ear. You just tell him you're forgiven. He's got no business here. Because it doesn't matter what you've done, it matters what you'll be. There is no condemnation when the Son has set you free. Better? Okay. So three of you agree? You put the enforcer in between, or is this it? Just kidding. Okay, so we got three to agree with it. We got five that agree with it. Six agreeing with it. Whether you agree or disagree, or no opinion. Agree. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we're there. Exactly where he is. We just messed up royally, and we just hang our heads the next day. Anybody else? I'll call on Sue. Did you agree or disagree? Or no opinion? Okay, last week we started with part one. Well, not last week, it's been 2 weeks now. We had singing last week, so I thought I'd do a quick review. We're gonna mainly be in 1 John. We'll jump out a little bit once or twice, but most we're gonna be in 1 John. And in 1 John, we've got a reason for the writing. Why did John write the letter? Okay. Count on the Gnostics. Who were the Gnostics?
To believe that the physical and the spiritual were so distinct that you could do whatever you wanted with the physical and it didn't affect the spiritual.
Okay. They looked at this part of us, the flesh part of us, and they said there are all kinds of desires and want-tos, and it'd be nice times. That wasn't controllable in their eyes. So you could go and do that because it never affected you spiritually. It was flesh. Spirit had a whole different dimension. I did that again. But the Spirit, and it is the same Spirit of the Godhead, that Spirit would give them certain truths. And the more truths you knew, the more spiritual you've been. The closest thing to this that I can, today that is happening, are people come up and say, Lord spoke to me last night. And he told me, and it puts them on a whole different plane than everybody else on the planet because he didn't speak to you and tell you the same thing. That was the Gnostics. And they were destroying what was something, the thing that was beautiful about their salvation. And the thing that was beautiful about their salvation in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, would somebody like to read? Okay, so the reason they wrote the letter is so you will know you have eternal life. Not sort of reckon maybe, or I'm leaning that way, or this is an absolute fourth act, this is going to happen. And he wanted the people to have that. And we said there's one very, 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 very important thing about your salvation. You're not in control of it. We usually go around in life and we think we've got this and it's all on me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're not in control of your salvation. God is in control of your salvation. And he does it by faith, by grace through faith. And we spent a good deal of time on that. So if you doubt your salvation and God is the God providing it, you have to be doubting God. All right. This is chapter 1. This is the message you've heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie. And we don't live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. What's it mean, walking in the dark?
Darkness is the absence of light.
Yes, darkness is the absence of light. Yeah, God is light, and if they walk in the darkness, they don't have any of these blessings. There's one that overshadows, I think overshadows sometimes, and that is fellowship with one another. We just sort of say, woo.
This is a concept about God's presence in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so walking in the light is to be walking in his presence. It's not about what we do or how we do it, or how well we do it or poorly. It's the recognition that we're walking with him in our life. If we're in darkness, he's not there, so we're not walking with him.
Good point. Can y'all hear him? I'm watching the shakes from the back. Okay. So this says purifies. What does that mean? Yeah. If it was once and over, it would say purified. It doesn't. It puts an S on it. You put an S on that word, it's continual. If that agrees with the Greek text.
We talked about this 2 weeks ago, where the American standard is cleanses. We went through
all this. Yeah. We're just doing a quick review. This was the Amplified version, because at the bottom he says it keeps us cleansed from sin in all forms and manifestations. Is that practice saying manifestations? And this is the ESV saying the same thing. All right, we got into chapter 2. And in chapter 2, dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And that's Amplified. The Greek's kind of neat. It can be translated somebody that mediates. It can be an intercessor. It also can be a lawyer. That you're sort of going into a, you have this law person in, on your side. Can be a lawyer. And he's brokering the deal. It's a dream team. The Son's going to represent us to the Father. That's kind of nice. Anyone who claims to be in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother loves the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. And he doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. This is kind of important. When we went to Tennessee, we worked at Tennessee School for the Blind.
For
3 years. And part of our training every year was somebody was blindfolded, and you kept the blindfold on all day long. Now, the problem with that is, how do you pour milk when you can't see? Eating was hilarious because you thought you had a spoonful of one thing and it was a spoonful of something else. You didn't know what you had. Doors were hard because some doors swing back towards you and some swing away from you. And you don't know which one's coming. That's what happens with a person's in the dark. Yes.
Because you can think you're walking, you can see yourself and believe that you're walking in the light. But he says, this is how you can know. This is something that everybody can see, you can see.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
Was that you making that comment, or were you saying that's what another group that John was dealing with was teaching?
No, I'm saying that for our group.
Okay. So how do we align that idea up with what we see here? One who walks in light, one who walks in darkness. Because admittedly that's where I, try to find myself sometimes, because I'm not one who adheres to an idea of a law-based religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible's New Testament passages are quite clear, especially the writings of Paul, that we're free from law. But at the same time, that doesn't. I also don't see the concept of once you're saved, that's that. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter. I don't find that concept either. So, I sometimes find myself in a struggle. Okay, well, how do we strike that balance? I go often to the concept. favor. You know, I'm afraid she's going to leave me if I don't. You know, I do it because I love her. You know, my actions are driven by my love for her, not to maintain her affections for me. But it obviously is reciprocated, even though I'm giving it surely out of my love for her. And I see that in the same relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with that in mind, there are some things I simply cannot do if I want to maintain that relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we strike that balance as far as teaching goes? Yes, you know, our salvation lies solely in the hands of the Lord. It's He who has provided it. It is He who has purchased it with His Son. It's a free gift. There's no condemnation. You know, how do we rectify that with, or reconcile that rather, with the idea that we're just not free to live how we want? And how do we reconcile that teaching?
Okay, if you'll hang on, we'll go there, okay? This is how we know. Somebody like to read.
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words, tongue, but with passions and
intention. Okay, we're starting to address your question already. You see a brother and sister that's in need, and you don't care. That's not the way God does things. God loved us enough to send Jesus. That ought to be our standard. We ought to love Him enough to give up some things, and like you're doing for your wife. You go and get those things because you love her. I didn't put on verse 19, and I wish I had. Now, it is. Thank you. This is how we know we belong to the truth, how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Now He's got something here going. What does He mean with that? Yeah. Here's the Savior we have. He's in the garden. He's taken His friends out there, puts them down, and goes a little further. And He starts talking about the crucifixion. Now, you would think that somebody who really loves God wouldn't talk about the crucifixion. Especially like this. If you can put Him in your place, I did that this afternoon. I'm going to tell Him, I'm not going. And He tells him, I don't want to go. And sometimes your faith is doing things you don't want to do. But God says, if you love me, you'll do them. He didn't do this once. He did it over and over and over again. I don't want to do this. But there's enough love that He does it. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There can be times you just don't want to do it because it messes with you in some way. Okay? This is we borrowed this off Google because I don't do this well. This is some basic idea of where we think we should go spiritually. Chuck. Chuck becomes a Christian at the bottom, at the very bottom, and he starts on his walk, and he's moving up the line, and every day he gets closer and closer and closer to being perfect. And he's got to reach perfection if he's going to be all right and know he's going to heaven. That's the launch. Yeah. Yeah, I was out half the afternoon yesterday looking for it, and they scrubbed it. So I knew it would come today. Okay, so he gets better and better and better and better and closer and closer and closer to perfection. Is there a problem with that?
Yeah, that's a graph of what I did.
That's what?
That's a graph of what I did, or what I think I did.
Okay. Hey, what, wife?
Position where I subscribe to this philosophy.
Yeah.
Oh. Philosophy is I closer and closer to God as I get older and older. You do mature. But I think there's probably more of a sinusoid. It is just it's almost a transcendental function.
A child that's baptized at an early age is very close to perfection.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My point is, let me finish, and then I think Paul will say something. The chart's black and white. It's just a line. You are. And the perfection is achieved because of what he did.
Okay.
People look at it this way.
Uh-huh.
But I don't achieve perfection. No. He achieved perfection.
Okay. Paul.
This is a chart of performance, not a chart of salvation.
It is.
Because he was saved right at that bottom point. Okay? His performance is relative to his love for God and his seeking to do good because he loves God and wants to do it. That's the performance curve. But his salvation was already there.
Uh-huh.
And he stays saved throughout his journey.
Okay. I think this is closer. I have some great days, you know. Freak Satan on, I'll tie one hand behind my back and take him on. Just, and then there's some days it's hard. And you don't know what to do. So instead of just going straight up, it's more, you have a dip or two in life, or three. And keep moving up.
It's not about performance. It's about motivation. Why you do what you do, not what you've done. And if you look at the last part of Galatians chapter 6, where it talks about don't be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever you do, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. He's not talking about performance there either. He's talking about motivation.
Yes.
If you're doing this, sowing to the flesh, okay, your motivation's wrong, and you're going to, don't be deceived, God understands the difference.
Huh?
But if your motivation is, I'm doing things for the Spirit, not for myself, then it doesn't matter how good or poorly you perform, it's your motivation.
Right. But when you're trying to live your life, it's direction, not perfection. You're having a heart that says, Lord, I'm trying. That makes sense? And that's important. My wall wants to say something. I didn't see you. You got to raise both hands and jump up and down. Uh-huh.
At work, in so many arenas, that's the world we live
problem with that idea is that we're getting close to the perfection of Christ. And we're none of us are anywhere near, you know, no matter what the scale is, my level of perfection may not even appear on that chart.
That's a good point.
And the idea that we're getting closer and closer to perfection is just, what's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. We can get closer and closer to being like Jesus in some area.
Yeah. If I could put Paul's and Mike's statement together, we're trying to do our best. But if you're trying to do your best and that's what you're trusting, you're not going to make it. That's why they threw out the law in the first place and established a cross.
Uh-oh. Anything. Whether I stand or fall, as long as I'm in Christ, I'm always going to stand.
Uh-huh.
Because he's going to keep me standing. And I have no control over that because I'm in Christ. So what I'm saying, all I could do is the best I can, but sometimes I'm going to fall, I'm going to fail. And Christ's gonna raise me up.
So mm-hmm.
I don't look at those graphs as, you know, me attaining anything. Only thing that I can really attain spiritually is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because of him. And
yes.
Only him.
Yes. This is why he continually cleanses us of all of our sins. If we never sinned, if we never messed up, if we never did that what was wrong, we wouldn't need a continual cleansing. But we do. Did the apostles mess up? The 12?
Yeah.
Somebody tell me what children were in the first century. They were nothing. Especially if you're female, you were nothing. You couldn't mature to a place where that you could be in contact with God. You never could get there in the first century. Children were in the same boat. So when you start throwing children who really don't count in this society at Jesus, they're sitting there saying, this is a waste of time. I mean, children, why is he wasting all his time on children when you could find somebody who really needs something? And Jesus rebukes them and says, what do you mean they don't count? And he makes sure every child there gets a touch of who he is. Okay? Okay. Okay. Let the children come unto me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Is that accurate? Or is that what you were talking about? Okay. So he makes it right for people who aren't right. Let's do this way. This is Peter. And Peter's been following Jesus at a distance, which is pretty good because the others are in hiding already. And Jesus has told Peter, who says, I will die with you, says, you're going to deny me three times. And this little servant girl who minds the door at the Sanhedrin says, I know you. You were with him. And he says,
I am not.
I wasn't with him at all. And now Peter comes up, and another guy comes up and says, you're one of his disciples. And Peter says, I'll let you read it, it's up there. He denies it. And then one of the servants, a relative of the guy whose ear was cut off, said, didn't I see you in the garden with him when he got arrested? And Peter says, this is Peter. If you name the three closest people out of the 12 to Jesus, they would be Peter, James, and John. You said, I was one right after you. Peter, James, and John. He went everywhere with them. There were times that he healed people, and who was in the room? Peter, James, and John. Times Jesus did miraculous things, and the only people who got to be there was Peter, James, and John. On the Mount Figuration, who was there? Peter, James, and John. Now that's a superstar. And he denies him three times. Now, a little background. Who looks like somebody who might have? We're going to make you a rabbi who might have disciples, okay? And they find out that you have betrayed the Jewish religion. What do the Jews do? You're stoned to death. Not only you, but these people who are following you, we'll put these people right here so you're in good shape. These people right here who are following you, they'll stone them too because they're trying to get rid of this doctrine. So when Peter's out there giving the idea of, hey, I don't know him, Peter, it's a life and death situation if they're looking at this. He could be up standing beside Jesus getting the same sentence that Jesus is getting. There's a big motivation for Peter to deny. But that's a pretty big mess up. At the time of need, he denies.
Uh-huh. But Peter's still within earshot of Christ, because when he says this the third time, Christ looked up.
Yeah, what's cock crowed. Okay. Remember, this is direction, not perfection. If you sin, just don't throw it away. Go ahead.
In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talked about people coming to him and saying, Lord, didn't we prophesy on your name, and didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? And he said, I don't know who you are. Because they were doing it for the wrong reasons and didn't have their motivation right.
Yeah, the motivation was totally wrong in that one. And this is what God does. He looks at our heart. He knows which hearts are trying to serve him and which hearts... This is just the show. And the promise of that continual cleansing is for the people who have his heart.
Doesn't that indicate that we have some choice in that matter?
Sure you do.
Okay, I guess that's where I was getting confused then. Because with the slide earlier on that said that our salvation is totally with God and we have no control over that.
Oh, no, you have control. You can walk away. Right. But if you stay in Christ,
yeah,
God's in control of your salvation.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Real quick. This is where we get the strength to continue on. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, was not yes and no in him, but it's always yes. For the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why, through him, we utter amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes you in Christ, who has anointed us, and has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as his guarantee. That's very close to what you were looking for. That you can just say no. One more. In him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Okay, who's in charge of the salvation? This is again God. And he gives us this help of the Holy Spirit so that we know how to relate to him. We can get on the same wavelength. Now that's Ephesians 5.
Yeah, but is this how we get there? Because that arrow, the jig-jag arrow.
The jig-jag arrow?
Yeah, that wasn't making it to the top.
No, it completely depended on God. Our performance will never get you there. But if we have the heart that says, I'm trying.
That's the idea there of staying in the life.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any questions? Comments? We know we live in him and in him in us, and he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we also know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So John comes down and says, here it is. He gave you this salvation because he loves you. Now love him back. And that controls our actions. Okay? We're going to spend at least 2 weeks on Satan starting next week. And we're going to look at what he does and how he gets people to follow him. It's not hard, but there are little things that he does that you'll go and you'll see how he works. Okay? Any questions? Good, I'm done now.